submitted to him. And in the end, that's really what it's all about. You know, we've talked about this before, but it's important that we understand the gospel isn't hard to understand when the Holy Spirit is the teacher. You know, when the Holy Spirit is the teacher, God has given a simple plan for his people. We repeat it often because we want to make sure we get it. God has created us to be like him. And when it's all said and done, when Jesus comes, those who are his are going to be like him. It really doesn't get any simpler than that. How do we become like him except his son, Jesus, who died for us so that we could have eternal life? When we accept Jesus, we become his sons and daughters. We're filled with his spirit, and the process of transforming us from glory to glory begins. So that in the end, when we go to be with him, or when Jesus returns for us, we are all going to be full of the glory of the Lord. The Bible says the whole earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. We can make it complicated, saints. But this Holy Spirit wants to simplify it for us so that we can see where we're going and we can see how to get there. And then we just have to be willing participants. The more we say yes to the Lord, the more he pours out on us. The more we say no to the Lord, the longer our journey and process becomes. Sometimes we might say, not yet, Lord. You know, we're not ready yet. You know, we're not ready to go all the way. We're not ready for a complete transformation. We're not ready for that fullness of being like him yet. I still want to hold on to a lot of these things of my old ways. But we can't hold on to the old and expect the new to come upon us. We're going to have to make the decision. Am I going all the way, or am I trying to go back, or am I going to stay where I am? The sad part about that is we have the warning from the book of Revelation that if we're lukewarm, he said he will spew us out of his mouths. I would, Jesus said through the apostle John, that you would be either hot or cold, that you would either be committed or leave it alone, that you would either go all the way or turn back. But don't half step in this thing. We do ourselves a disservice. We hinder our own growth, our own process, and then we hinder our ability to help others that are connected to us. So let us continue to be glorified in him as we submit and surrender to him. Amen. Amen. Let's thank God for our worship leader. Let's thank God for our mighty men of grace and all of the musicians, our praise team, our ushers, the media ministry, all that serve in this place. We thank God for you. We appreciate your ministry, and we honor you, and we pray that the Lord will renew you and refresh you because of all that you expend and pour out in his service. And he's faithful to do that. I said he's faithful to do that. He's faithful to do that. And we'll find the more we submit to him. And I said this a few weeks ago, but again, you know, I like to repeat stuff because I want to make sure we get it. The more we're full of God, the less we'll get to that place where we're running on empty. I'll put it like that. If we stay full, then we're overflowing, and then we're blessing others out of that overflow. But if we keep getting depleted and depleted and depleted, pretty soon we get to a place where we feel, I don't have anything else to give. Anybody ever felt that way? I've given all I can give. I don't have anything else to give. But if we stay full of God, full of His presence, full of His Spirit, full of His joy, full of His peace, full of His rest, full of His resources, full of His provision, we will always have to give. We'll always have to give when we stay full. The Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Ephesians a prayer. And in that prayer, his prayer was that they would be full of God. They would come to the place where they were full of God in all things. Let's turn there quickly. There are two places, one in Ephesians chapter 1, the other in Ephesians chapter 3, where Paul expressed his desire for the church at Ephesus. And it, by extension, his desire for others that would benefit from the reading of this letter, and ultimately all in the ensuing generations that experience this letter. In the third chapter, Paul is writing his desire that that the saints comprehend things that we can't comprehend in the natural. You know, we are intelligent people because we have brilliant minds. There are a lot of things that we can study out and we can research and we can, you know, and we can factor in and do all of our deductive reasoning and a whole lot of other things that we can do. But there are some things that we can only get by revelation from God. Amen. And so we can be people that are full of information, or we can be full of revelation. I choose the latter. I choose to be full of revelation. I just don't want to spout off a lot of information, stuff that I've learned, that I've read somewhere. I want to be full of the revelation that comes from God. There are some things we will only get, brothers and sisters, by revelation. God breathing, God giving them to us by the Holy Spirit as we study His Word, or even in times of prayer and meditation, the Holy Spirit begins to reveal, to unfold, to open up the Word of God, the will of God for His people. So in Ephesians chapter 3, we'll start reading, man, you know how it's all so good. But I think we will start in verse 16. Oh man. That he would grant you according to the riches of His glory. We just talked about that glory. To be strengthened with might by His Spirit where? In the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. To know the length, the depth, the height, the breadth, and the love of God that surpasseth all knowledge, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. That's what He wants for us, brothers and sisters. He wants us to know just how much God loves us, to where we're full and overflowing with all of who God is and all that He wants to be to His people. We should keep growing. We should keep aspiring to get that revelation, because that's what's going to mature us to the place where we are walking in this victory we sing about, where we are triumphant and overcoming and victorious, and where we are overflowing with the love of God and the goodness of God that then we are sharing with others, and we are never running on empty because we're constantly being filled with God. Now, how can we be constantly filled? By recognizing that we will never exhaust the fullness of God. We can never exhaust the fullness of God, saints. And so the more we know, the more we have capacity to know. The more he gives us, the more he stretches us so that we can receive more. And just when I think I've got a grasp on just how much God loves me, he kicks that thing to another level. And then I realize, no, he loves me even more than I ever perceived before. And then that space gets filled with the knowledge of the love of God. Then he stretches me some more. Then he fills me with more revelation of his love. Then when we encounter people, sometimes difficult people, that love begins to pour out of us, overflowing to our loved ones, to our family members, to our neighbors, to our co-workers, to our friends, to the strangers that we encounter, those difficult people to deal with, those folks on the job that people steer clear of because they seem to be hateful and angry and nasty people. But the love of God, which has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, begins to flow to them. Doesn't want you running on empty. Wants us filled to overflowing. So let's keep pursuing the knowledge of God, the knowledge of Christ, the knowledge of his love, the knowledge of his will. Then we'll find out that we are strengthened with all might, even in our inner man. And that's really the part that keeps you. When you're going through those attacks of the enemy, it's the strength that we have in the inner man that tells you not to give up, not to quit, not to let go. Hold on to God. God is faithful. He's with you in the trouble. He's going to bring you out and give you victory and give you success. It's the strength in the inner man that keeps us many times when the outer man seems to be weak. Amen. There are some people in jail, in prison, but they're freer than a lot of people that's walking around in the streets. Because they've come to a place in God where the bonds and the chains and the cell isn't big enough to hold their spirit. God wants us to get to that place. If we're strengthened in the inner man, we'll outlast what's going on with the outer man. Amen. Amen. So Paul prayed that they would be strengthened in the inner man with all might to be able to stand, to be able to persevere, to be able to endure, and then to overcome victoriously. And that's God's will for all of us. So just for a few minutes, that was in Ephesians. I want us to go quickly to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Because last week we had our 74th church anniversary. We had a wonderful time. Thank you to Sister Ann Newton and her entire committee and all that worked along with you to make that 74th celebration such a great success. Thank you, Sister Weaver, and the musicians and the choirs that sung, the ushers, and everyone that served. And thanks to everyone that joined us on that celebration. We appreciate your presence. And they talked about what it means to be ambassadors for Christ, what it means to be commissioned, and what it means to be called and commissioned, and what it means to be committed. And we had a powerful word from Prophetess Teresa on last week. Amen. Amen. And I was looking for you. I was just looking for you because I saw the whole family come in. And I said, well, he's coming. He's coming. So thanks for blessing me to see you today. Amen. It's good to see you. Amen. See, the men got to hold it down. I mean, the women going to handle things. They're going to do what's necessary to get it done. But us brothers, we got to hold down things. We can't be the weakest link. Not you. I'm saying we, I want to clear that. I'm just saying we can't be the weakest link in the family. Because that's not the way God has set it up. But everything we need, we need to seek God for it. So that we can provide for our families. So that we can handle what God has instructed us to handle. Men, if nobody prayed, men, we ought to be praying. Because we realize the severity of what God has placed us. With leadership comes great responsibility. With authority comes great responsibility. A lot of people want the titles, but they don't want the responsibility. Amen. They want the accolades, but they don't want to put in the work and the time. And so when God puts us in places of positions of authority, He graces us for it, but we've got to submit to that and walk in that power and walk in that authority and walk in it with faith and with the anointing of God. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, just for a few verses, starting at verse number 17. Therefore, if any man, if any person be in Christ, he, she is a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We thank God for the hearing and the reading of his word. Brothers and sisters, as we should know, we are, as far as God is concerned, ambassadors for him and for his kingdom. And I think might have been Demarius or someone mentioned being an ambassador as it relates to a part of his functioning in school, something that he's doing as an ambassador. But an ambassador is a person that has been sent, has been designated officially and sent to serve certain official functions if they're representing a government, a head of a country, or a head of state. And then there are other ambassadors like goodwill ambassadors, people that have been tapped, selected to represent a company, a corporation, or some organization in some way. I know there are some folks that work at Amazon. And Amazon has ambassadors, and they have these little vests that they wear around the workshop with the word ambassador on the back. So everybody will know that we're representing this company, Amazon. And so anyone can be tapped or asked to be an ambassador, but for official purposes, an ambassador in a government serves as the highest representative in most cases of that government in a foreign land or country. They've been commissioned, they've been sent to an assignment, to a post, to serve and represent their country, again, in a foreign land, in a foreign country. And they've been given the authority to speak on the behalf of that country, or that president, or that king, or that prime minister, and behalf of the country. And they receive the power, the authority that they take with them to countries that accept ambassadors, and they carry with them typically a letter, a proclamation from their government that states that I have been assigned here as the ambassador from my country, from the United States, or from whatever country you're from. And they have the letter stating that they're not coming on their own, but they're being sent here by the country, by the king, by the person that they represent. And because of various treaties and so forth, most of those countries will accept the ambassador from certain countries. Many times they will reject ambassadors or persons coming from other countries. But it's an official designation, and it's an official appointment and assignment. So when Paul writes that we are ambassadors, he's writing on behalf of the Holy Spirit, instructing the believers that God has sent him, and God has sent people to serve and to represent him in the earth. That's the simplest way I can put it. God has officially commissioned people, his people from his kingdom, to go and represent the kingdom of God in the earth. You with me? It's a spiritual, but it's an official commission to be an ambassador. It's not something that a person can take upon his or herself. You gotta be born again. You gotta be in the family. You gotta be a part of God's kingdom to be commissioned and sent as an ambassador to represent God in the earth. So he lays it out. He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. How do you get into this kingdom of God? You must be born again. How do we get into God's family? You gotta be born again. We've gotta accept God's way of salvation. And God's way of salvation is to accept the Christ, the anointed one, Jesus, that he sent. And by accepting Jesus as Savior and Lord, we become a part of God's family and we're placed into his kingdom. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, you can keep 2 Corinthians 5, we'll be back there, but Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, I'm going to begin at verse 10, just to get the thought going. Here's another prayer or desire for God's people that Paul writes to those at Colossae. That ye might walk worthily of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience or perseverance and long suffering, with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet or fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Verse 13, who hath delivered us from what? The power of darkness, and hath translated us, or transferred us, into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have what? Redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. You see, a spiritual transfer takes place for those who accept Jesus is Savior. He says he translated or transferred us out of the power of Satan. Where? Into the kingdom of his beloved son. When we accepted Jesus, we were immediately transferred out of the power, out of the clutches of Satan, and placed into God's kingdom and placed into God's family. 2 Corinthians said, at that point, we became new creatures. New creatures. The Greek really means a new species of being. Huh? Yeah. When you read it, it says we become a new creation, a new species of being. Meaning even though we may look the same, we are different than we were before we were born again. How are we different than we were? We're different because now we become partners or partakers of God's divine nature. Our DNA has changed. God has completely changed our DNA. Now, when they look at it through the microscopes and stuff, you know, they may not be able to readily identify it, even though many times they have identified certain genetic things that some people have that others don't have. Certain genetic differences that some human beings have that others don't have. They can't put their finger on it. They don't know why, and so on. But whether they can detect it or not, God has done a complete change. We are not the same person that we were before we got saved. Again, even though we may think the same way, because our minds have to be renewed. According to, what is it, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Our minds have to be renewed. Our bodies may look a lot like they looked before we got saved. But we need to know that in the spirit, God has made us now partakers of his divine nature. You can read it in 2 Peter chapter 1. Do we need to turn there and look at it, or y'all take my word for it? You take my word for it. Look at it when you get a chance, though. 2 Peter chapter 1. Sunday school. That was Sunday school lesson this morning. Oh, wow. Thank you, Jesus. So I didn't look at it this week. Usually I get a chance to look at it. I didn't look at it this week. But we are partakers now of God's divine nature. Our DNA, divine nature, N-A, has changed. Amen. That's what enables us now to live forever. That's what enables us to live forever. We are now partakers of God's divine nature. And we will live forever. Bless the Lord. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. A lot of us read that, but we don't believe it. We read it because it's in the text. But how many of us believe that as far as God is concerned, all things are become new? That means I should have an expectation that my life is going to have the new, represent the newness of God. That even my body, my health is going to start showing that it's been made new. Our cells regenerate, right? That was even before we got born again. Our blood replenishes itself. That was even before we got born again, right? All of these things God built into our anatomy before we got born again. How much more when you put God's spirit on something, when God's DNA gets hooked up in us, that we should have an expectation that all things pertaining to me becomes new. Are we preaching over your head? Get it in the spirit. Yeah, that one might have went over my head, but it hit my spirit. I got it in my spirit. And as I start processing that thing in the Holy Ghost, it's going to come alive in me. And it's going to start showing on the outside. We used to sing a song, something on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Huh? Do we really believe that? Something on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Stop singing it if we're not going to believe it. Something on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Hallelujah. Woo. I felt that thing. Something on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change. Oh, what a change in my life. Oh, you here too, don't you, Elder? My God. And so let me wrap this up. So think about this. We are now representatives of the kingdom of God. We're in it by receiving Christ as Savior and Lord. But now we realize if I'm an ambassador, I've been sent somewhere. I've been sent now to represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords into the earth, into the world where I live. I'm a citizen of heaven. And I know I live in the world, but I've really now been sent to the world on God's behalf. Paul just said it. We employ you by in Christ's stead. We're here representing Christ. Be reconciled. Be made right with God. Be brought back to God. That's our ministry. That's our assignment. That's what every one of us now has been called to do. Let our lights shine before men that they may see your good works. They see God working in us and glorify the Father who is in heaven. That's our assignment. That's our assignment. As we live, as we move, as we work, as we interact with people, as we engage in the marketplace, in the workplace, even in our own homes, my assignment is I represent the kingdom of God. And I've got to represent the kingdom so as to give glory to God. That people can see that God's working on me. They can't see on the inside. That's why what's on the inside has to work on the outside. That's why what God is doing with me spiritually has to work out physically, naturally. So that they will see God is working with her. God is working with him. And glorify our Father who is in heaven. An ambassador doesn't speak on his or her own. They receive from the king or from the president, from their government, from the prime minister. They receive their instructions. And now they're going on a diplomatic journey. They are diplomats. They are being sent to another country for diplomacy. They want to engage that country. They want to interact with that country. They want to open up dialogue with that country so that they can have opportunities there for what they have to be shared with that country. That's what we do when we interact with people. Our focus should be, I've been sent by God. These encounters that I'm having with people, it ain't just for friends' sake. God didn't send me all the way around the world just to make a friend. Now, I would love to make some friends, but more than that, I would love to leave here with some brothers and some sisters. Amen. I know I've been sent by my natural job to another state. But even though I've been sent to another state, God has sent me for kingdom business. So I'm going to work the job, but I'm also going to work my vocation and my calling. So then these encounters again that we have with people, we can exchange pleasantries. That's fine. But we should always have in our mind, I'm here on a mission. I have a kingdom assignment in the earth. And the best thing I can do is represent the King well. That's the best thing I can do is represent my King and the kingdom well. Because that in and of itself will begin to cause people to think and make comparisons. You know, people do compare things. You know, they look at your car and they look at their car. They look at your house, they look at their house. They look at your clothes, they look at their clothes. They read about your country and then they look at their country. And they do make comparisons. I remember talking to one of the members some time ago, and she mentioned how when she came to this country, she thought when she got off the plane, she'd just see people praising and worshiping all in the airport. Found out it wasn't that way. Found out it wasn't that way. But you begin to draw conclusions and you have expectations. Sometimes you're disappointed. Sometimes you are delighted that your expectations were excelled and surpassed. Right? Well, God is always able to surpass our expectations. Isn't that what the rest of the word says in Ephesians? Yes. Let's go back there quickly. We left off a verse. Let's go back and get it. Yes, sir. As we're filled with the fullness of God. Then he wraps up. Now. Now that you're listening and walking in this revelation. Now my prayer is unto him. Who is able. To do what? Exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask or think. You think that exceeds expectations? Far surpass. Yeah, blown away, blow them away. Well, that's how God wants his people to live and have that mindset. My God will exceed all your expectations. I mean the true and the living God. And I ain't talking about my church. I'm talking about my God. Because my church still got a lot of growing to do because I'm still a part of it. And I still got a lot of growing to do. But my God, if you come to him, my Lord and my Savior, if you put your trust in him, he will exceed all of your expectations. That's why, brothers and sisters, we have to keep getting to know him. I mean, church is fine. Don't get me wrong. We are the body of Christ. We're growing. We're maturing. We're growing up into the stature of Christ. But Christ is already there. So while we're growing up, we need to be showing them him. Right? We need to be showing them him. We need to be talking about him. We need to be demonstrating him. We need to show them who he really is. Because they will buy that. They will accept that because people have been doing it since Jesus died and rose again. They've been accepting Jesus. And they're going to keep on accepting Jesus until he returns. But are we going to represent him well? Are we going to carry the good news, the gospel of the kingdom of God, or stay stuck in religion and tradition and wives' tales and myths and superstition and all that stuff, which never represents the kingdom? It has no power. It gives you no authority, and it will not persuade people to really know who God is. So as ambassadors, we want to be committed to our calling. And to our commission to live for God, to represent him. We want to let our lights shine. We are somebody, and we've been sent to a world that needs to know that there's a better life, and that life is in Christ. That better life is in Christ. Don't make it real. Yeah. You going through anything? Yeah, I've been through some stuff since I've been saved. Going through some stuff right now. But God is faithful. God is good. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's with me in the midst of this. And he's bringing me out. And while I'm going through, you see, I'm still smiling, don't you? While I'm going through, all my needs are still being met. While I'm going through, I've still got the joy of the Lord, which is my strength. While I'm going through, I'm not in despair. I'm not downtrodden. I'm not heavy burdened. But God has lifted me. And when I feel myself under attack, I'm going to put on a garment of praise and begin to give God some glory. Yeah. We have a different spirit. You remember Joshua and Caleb? The Bible said they had a different spirit. We have a different spirit. We have the spirit of the living God living on the inside of us. That's the spirit of faith. That's the spirit of hope. That's the spirit of confidence and trust in God. Paul said, we are not of those, or the writer of Hebrews, that draw back. But we go on to the saving of our souls, of our minds, of our whole being. And we're not going to walk around pitying stuff. You know, we might be there for a moment, but we're not going to stay there. I said, we're not going to stay there. We're going to get up, we're going to wash our face, get ourselves cleaned up, we're going to put on our clothes and put on the face, and we're going out to the world like we own it. Like you own it. We said it the other day, we won't even be smelling like smoke. I know they were in a fire because I saw the blaze, but I don't even see any traces of smoke. I don't smell no smoke on them. Their hair isn't singed. So we got to walk this thing out, and I don't mean fake it. I mean have it. We ain't faking it till we make it. We got this. God has given us. God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. God has given us all things in spirits in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God has delivered us. God has redeemed us. We just got to say so. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Last point, because we got to stop, but we ain't through. See, the children of Israel, see, this thing starts with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. God promised Abraham Canaan. If you remember when he came out of Ur and God called him out, took him to a place that he didn't know where he was going, God took him into Canaan. And Abraham walked up and down and through Canaan land. But still, at the time God gave it to him, he considered himself a stranger and a pilgrim, even in that land. Because there were all of those ites, the Canaanites, and all these other enemies there. So he's in the land. He's living in the land, but he still sees himself as a stranger in the land. Jacob, Isaac had his encounters in the land of Canaan. And as he sojourned in the land, there came a famine, just like with Abram, wanted to go into Egypt. God said, don't you go into Egypt. You stay right here. You stay where you are. I'm going to bless you where you are. Jacob, you remember Jacob, when Joseph was sent in, was sold into slavery, Jacob was living in Canaan. They're living in Canaan land, so much so, Genesis chapter 42, Joseph sends, once he reveals himself to his brothers, he sends for his father and for his family and said, listen, you come on. They came out of Canaan land, the land of promise. They came out of Canaan to live in Goshen. So that trip from Canaan to Egypt wasn't as long and arduous as the children of Israel when they were trying to go from Egypt to Canaan. You say, You know, we think it was an arduous journey that they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness trying to get out of Egypt to get into Canaan. No, people made that trip all the time. Amen. People made that trip all the time. I mean, if you can get from Canaan to Egypt, you think you can get from Egypt to Canaan? Huh? What made the trip hard and arduous was their rebellion, their lack of faith, their unbelief that they wouldn't trust God. Some suggest it would have only taken about 21 days. Some suggest it could have been made in 11 days. You mean it took them 40 years to get from Egypt to Canaan? Rebellious, unbelief, complaining, stiff-necked. Why am I saying this as we get ready to close? God has provided for us the kingdom of God. He has transferred us in it. Instead of complaining and being rebellious and being stiff-necked and being hard-hearted, all of these blessings that the kingdom has are available for us if we would just believe God. It's not going to be hard as we're trying to make it. Oh, it's hard to get healed. It's hard to get delivered. It's hard to get out of debt. It's hard to get my family saved. It's hard to get rest. No, it's not. We just got to let the Holy Ghost do the work. No, we just got to start believing God and representing the kingdom of God. So as ambassadors, we've got to represent this kingdom. And in order to represent this kingdom, we're going to have to do it by faith. We're going to have to start possessing the promises that God has given to us. That whole chapter of Hebrews 11 talks about those who even though they accomplished things through faith, never obtained the promise. God having something better for us. It's time for us to obtain the promise. All those exceeding great and precious promises that Peter wrote about. All those exceeding great and precious promises. All those promises that Peter wrote about. We need to start possessing them by faith and stop talking about how hard it is, how difficult it is. We're making it hard. We're wandering around in this wilderness of debt because we won't believe God. We're struggling with our health because we won't believe God. We're struggling trying to get our family saved because we won't believe God. Now that's a general prophetic statement. Now I know everybody, I think most of us in here trying to get well. If you're sick, you're trying to get well. I want to say it again. If you're sick, you're trying to get well. You're going to the doctors, you're taking your medication, you're doing all this stuff they're instructing you to do, trying to get well. Some, yeah, I hear you, sis say some. But folks, can I tell you there's more to it than that? There's a level beyond that. And that's the faith in God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct our path. That woman with the issue of blood was trying to get well. Right? The Bible says she had tried everything. She had gone to all the physicians, gave them all her money, and she got worse, not better. You don't think she was trying to get well? But when she heard that Jesus, that Savior, that Healer, that Deliverer, that Life was passing by, she said, if I could just touch his clothes, I know how to be made whole. Huh? You got to go beyond what you're doing and put our faith and trust in God. You don't think that lame man was trying to get well? He said, every time I'm coming, trying to get in, somebody gets down in the pool before I get there. He wanted to get well. That's why Jesus touched him and healed him, because he had the faith to get well. We got to keep believing God and trusting God. If you really want to get out of debt, I mean really for real want to get out of debt, it's time to start letting God show me how to do this thing and be an ambassador for the kingdom. Stop trying all these get rich quick schemes. Amen. You said playing the lottery. I already told y'all some months ago about the lottery. Don't play it unless the Holy Spirit give you the number. And if the Holy Spirit give you the number, you're supposed to win. If the Holy Spirit gives you the number, you're supposed to win. Listen, folks, y'all get mad at people, get mad at me. I don't care. God knows how to transfer wealth out of the hands of the wicked into the hands of the just. Pastor Creflo Dollar used to say, if he's preaching and a dog comes down the aisle with a bag in his mouth, he said, don't stop that dog. Let that dog bring that bag. Because he done went and dug up that money that somebody buried, and he's bringing it to the Lord. God knows how to make a wealth transfer. It sounds funny, but if you read the word, God is doing miraculous things. God is feeding the man of God from a raven, from a bird of prey, a scavenger. But he feeds them fresh food in the morning and fresh food in the evening. God knows how to do things supernaturally. And God wants to heal us supernaturally. God wants to deliver his people supernaturally. God wants to restore your families supernaturally. God wants to make ways out of no ways supernaturally. Why? So the doctor won't get the credit. The lawyer won't get the credit. Nobody will get the glory but God. Now you thank the doctor, but you praise God. Amen. Amen. You thank the lawyer, but you praise and worship God. You thank your accountant, because she ain't ripping you off. You thank your accountant for helping you get things, but you praise and you worship and you bless God. Amen, somebody? We are ambassadors for the kingdom of God. And I don't plan on, I'm finishing it, I don't plan on being recalled. I don't plan on being recalled because I didn't do a good job. That one, some of us got to think on that one. See, ambassadors serve at the pleasure of the king or the president or whoever sent them. And sometimes they are recalled for different reasons. They may be recalled because they've done such a great job, I need them to do something else. But sometimes they're recalled because they're not getting the job done. And they're making a mess. And they done went over in this country, and even though they have what's called, many of them, diplomatic immunity, they done went over and they've been involved in criminal stuff, and some of them may have hurt or killed somebody, and they've done some crazy things that government wouldn't punish them because of diplomatic immunity, but them jokers got recalled. Right? So you're not representing the company well. You're not representing the kingdom well. You're not representing the country well. You're making a mess. Time to come on back. Folks, don't get recalled. I said, don't get recalled. We want to hear God say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've represented the kingdom well because you grew up, you matured as a son. You're listening, as a daughter, and you represented me well. You didn't go on the country misrepresenting me. Got people thinking I'm mean and hateful and an angry God. Got people thinking that I'm equal with Satan. Well, God powerful, but the devil powerful too. Shut up. Just say God's all powerful and leave it at that. Just God's all powerful and leave it at that. If you got to say anything about the devil, say yeah, and he's defeated. Jesus put him to an open shame. Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave. Let's be good soldiers, good servants, good ambassadors for the kingdom. And it starts as we keep growing up in faith and trusting God and declaring that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And still in 2019, heading to 2020, still no one can come unto the Father except by and through Him. That's what I believe. And I believe that because that's what the Word says. Now you may believe different. You may believe that all paths lead to God. You may believe there are many ways to get to God. You can believe that if you choose. I don't begrudge you for what you believe. But if we're going to believe the Word of God, the Word says that no one can come unto the Father except by Jesus Christ, the Savior. Either we're going to believe God or we're not. If you want to believe Buddhism, you should go hang out with Buddha. But you can't, because he dead. You can't, because he's dead. All these other gods and leaders of religions, dead, but Jesus. I said Jesus, who was dead and now lives forevermore. Hallelujah. He is still the way. When I think of